said, let the little children be me. Just recently, Sarah and I went to London to see a concert. While we were there, we thought we might pop along to Buckingham Palace, where the Queen lives. And we just saw the tail end of the changing of the guard. When one group of soldiers goes off duty, and another comes on duty to guard the Queen where she lives in Buckingham Palace. And those soldiers looked very, very impressive with their red tunics and their navy trousers with a red stripe down the side and their big, big, tall bearskins. There they were with their guns and the band was playing and it was a very, very impressive sight. You might say they looked like toy soldiers, but they were real soldiers. And they do have a real job to do in making sure the Queen is safe at home. Talking to Johnny and Becca about our experiences, they mentioned that on YouTube, you can see a clip of a man who wandered into the road when the soldiers were marching by. And they didn't stop for anything, they bundled them out of the way, said, "Keep clear, keep out of the way!" And the man looked rather shocked and had to move out of the way quickly. And in another little video film, some tourists got too close to the railings of Buckingham Palace. And the soldier on duty didn't like the look, or like the look of that at all. So he stamped his feet loudly to scare them. And he shouted at them, "Stand back from the railings!" And he pointed his gun at them to make them go away. So they're not out there just for show. They're there to guard the Queen and make sure that she's safe. Because the Queen is a very, very important person. That's why she has all these guards and police guarding her, and she lives in a very, very big house in London. Similar with the Prime Minister, Mr. Cameron, who lives on Downing Street. Now, when I was a child, there weren't gates at the front of Downing Street, so you could walk down that famous street right out, and stand right outside number 10 Downing Street and have your photo taken. And I remember as a young child when Dennis Healy, the Chancellor of the Exchequer at the time, walked into Downing Street. And I said to my parents, "Who's that, Mum and Dad?" And they said, "That's the Chancellor of the Exchequer." And someone shouted out, "Oi, where's my tax rebate?" You don't have to bother about tax rebates. But a friend of mine, a school friend of mine, used to be one of the security police at Downing Street. And usually, if you're a tourist, if you're visiting London to have a look around and see the sights, you can't walk all the way down Downing Street and have a look at where the Prime Minister lives. But we were able to mention my friend's name, and he opened the gates and let us in. That was me and Auntie Sarah and Johnny and Becky when they were younger. And some of the other tourists said, "Hey, that's not fair. How can they go in and we can't?" We were able to mention my friend's name and he gave us access. We were able to walk up and down that very important street. You see, there are some people who are very important, like the Queen, the Prime Minister and others, who are often guarded to make sure that they are kept safe. But you know who the most important person in the whole world ever? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The most important person in the whole world ever. He is God's Son, came into the world as one of us. And the disciples knew that Jesus was a very important person. And one day some mums and dads brought their children along to Jesus that he might lay his hands on them and bless them. Parents often did that for children in those days. They would bring their children to the rabbi, the teacher, particularly on the Day of Atonement when a great sacrifice was offered. The rabbis, the teachers, to bless the children. And maybe the children got a little bit excited on being introduced to Jesus. You know what children were like, and began shouting and messing around. And so Jesus' followers, the disciples, told these children to go away, told them off. "Jesus doesn't want to be bothered with you, little kids. Peel off and leave them alone." Jesus wasn't happy with that at all. He told his disciples off. And he said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." Then he laid his hands upon these children, and he blessed them. First of all, we learn from that that children may come to Jesus. Being a Christian isn't just for grown-ups, it's for children too. Now, we don't, as Baptists, baptize little babies, but we believe that children, the Bible tells them, children may come to Jesus and trust in him as their saviour. To be a Christian, you really need to understand three things. First, that God made you. Secondly, that you sinned against God, because we all do wrong things. And thirdly, that Jesus is able to save us from our sins. That's what he came into the world to do. To die on the cross, that we might be forgiven and know God as our Father. You don't have to be a certain age to know those things and believe those things. You can be a Christian when you're very, very young. I became a Christian when I was a teenager. And others became a Christian still later in life. It's when Jesus comes to us and we come to him. That's the thing that counts. But you might think, how can I come to Jesus because he's in heaven and I'm on earth and we can't see him? Or we can't see him coming or touch him or feel him. Sometimes your dad might say, come to me, Theo, or come to me, Eliza, and you go to him, maybe for a cuddle, or maybe because you've got a bit messy and he needs to clean you up. You can see him, hear his voice, and you come to him, and he does something for you. It's true we can't come to Jesus in that way, because he's not bodily present among us. We can't see him, we can't touch him, but we can hear him. When the Bible is read, and when this message is explained by the preacher, Jesus is speaking to us and inviting us to come to him. Just as your dad sometimes says, come to me, and you come to him. Coming to Jesus is about trusting in him. Have you ever climbed up a tree? It's sometimes easier to climb up a tree, isn't it, than to climb back down again. Have you ever walked along a wall that's a bit high and you're wondering, how on earth am I going to get down from this high wall? And then your dad might say, well, jump. Jump from the tree or jump from the wall and I'll catch you. And you trust your dad then, don't you? You know your dad's strong enough that when you jump into his arms, he's not going to drop you. And you know your dad loves you too much to let you fall to the ground and hurt yourself. You trust in your dad that he's strong enough and he loves you enough to catch you and make sure you're safe. Is that right? And that's what trust means, that's what faith means, that's what belief is all about. Or sometimes your mum might say when you're playing up in your bedrooms, dinner's ready now. And you believe her, don't you? And so you come downstairs and there's dinner on the table. And you trust what your mum says, and the dinner's there ready for you. And similarly with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, come to me, he means trust in me, believe in me. Know that God made you. Know that you have sinned against God. And know that I am able to save you. Jesus says, let the little children come to me. Don't let anybody put you off being a Christian and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one's too young to be saved. As long as they understand those basic things, and come to Jesus and trust in him. That's the first thing, that children may come to Jesus. Secondly, everyone who comes to Jesus must do so as a child. So he said, isn't it, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. In fact, that's the only way to come to Jesus, isn't it, as a child. Jesus says in an earlier passage, Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4, surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as his little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't mean that we have to be childish and do things like playing rounders with a lightsaber or something like that, but it means that we have to be childlike. To come to Jesus, in other words, you must be humble. Children were of no great status or importance in the ancient world, and similarly today in some ways, so we do have a more child-centered view of things, don't we? In our society, children are entirely dependent upon their parents, and they know full well they can't make it on their own. Children have a proper sense of their limitations, don't they? And children sometimes may be defiant, and their mum and dad beckon them. They say, no, I'm not coming. You see that in shops sometimes, don't you? Mum starts to walk down the aisle, and the child just lingers behind. Mum says, come on now, hurry up. And the child says, no, I'm not coming. And then the mum pretends to walk on further. And then the child gets a bit worried and soon toddles along after mum because they know they couldn't make it on their own. We can't come to Jesus if we're full of self-sufficient pride. And we think we can make it, and we think we're all right on our own and without him. Some people have their clever objections to the Christian faith, don't they? Or Adam's belly button, and where did Cain get his wife, and all that kind of thing. I think they can ridicule the Christian faith for their pride and self-sufficiency. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great preacher, was once invited to address the Oxford Union. And after he preached to a clever bunch of students, there was an opportunity for discussion. And one of the clever young men stood up and said, you addressed us, Dr. Lloyd-Jones, as if you were no better than a bunch of farm labourers. And Lloyd-Jones replied, well, your needs are exactly the same as a bunch of farm labourers. The sinners before God, you need to repent and be saved. Or something like that anyway. I tried, didn't I? Because it's the same for everybody. The cleverest students in Oxford, or a farm labourer, or a child. God made you. You've sinned against God. Jesus is able to save you from sin. So we're to humble ourselves as little children, get rid of pride and self-sufficiency, and simply trust in him. Secondly, children are trusting. They have to live by faith in adults' promises. And that's why they often feel bitterly let down when those promises aren't kept and complain, oh, but you said we could go for a walk, or you said we could go to the seaside, even though it's maybe raining on that day and maybe not appropriate to go to the beach. And we come to Jesus by faith, by trusting in him. So faith isn't being foolishly naive, but trusting in what God has revealed to us of himself, about ourselves, and about the Lord Jesus Christ. God speaks to us through the world he made. God speaks to us through the Son that he sent. And God speaks to us through the word that he has written, the Bible. We need to trust in God as he speaks to us through these means. And to keep on trusting him, as Christians live by faith and not by sight. We jump into the arms of Jesus, the way that he's too strong to drop us and too loving to let us go. Underneath, says the Bible, are the everlasting arms. Trust him. To come to Jesus, we must be childlike in our simplicity. The likes of Stephen Hawking and Richard Dawkins think that they're not Christians because they're way too clever and knowledgeable. But the church has had its towering intellects, the likes of the Apostle Paul or Augustine, Luther, Calvin and Jonathan Edwards, and men beyond compare when it comes to intellectual ability. And yet they believe the simple gospel of Christ. The problem is not that people are too clever, are too proud and sceptical to come to Jesus as little children, and they're offended by what Paul describes as the simplicity that is in Christ. Because the gospel is essentially simple. It's not a philosophy that you need to study for years and years and years to understand, and you realise you never understood it in the first place. It's not a worldview. It's a message of what God has done to save us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that reason, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who think they're too clever. But it's only through the preaching of the cross we experience the salvation of our God. Karl Barth was the flawed genius of 20th century theology. And we wouldn't agree with him on many points, but Barth was on a lecture tour in the United States in 1962 and was speaking at the University of Chicago. And after one of his lectures, a student asked Barth if he could summarize his whole life's teaching in one sentence. And Barth responded, "Yes, I can. In the words of a song I learned on my mother's knee, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And that is the Christian gospel, isn't it? Jesus loves me. We know that, the Bible tells us. And He loved us enough to die for us on the cross and to be raised again from the dead, that we may hope in Him. Grown-ups often overcomplicate matters because we want to appear clever and sophisticated. But children love simplicity. Tell me the old story of Jesus and His love. So simply believe. Because if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible promises you will be saved. So everyone who comes to Jesus must do so as a child, humbly, with trust and simplicity. Thirdly and finally, have you come to Jesus? Whether old or young you may be, come to Him that He may lay His hands upon you and bless you. In blessing you, He will forgive your sin, He will make you a child of God, He will give you the hope of everlasting life. Jesus is the most important person in the whole universe, God's own Son. And He says to each and every one of us this morning, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Let the little children come to me," says Jesus, "for such is the kingdom of God." Don't leave it too late to come to Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. For now is the day of salvation. Come to Jesus. Whether you're a child or a child of heart, come to Him.